Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Hey, chickens. This is a very rambling, messy episode. We're talking about Star Trek Picard, but then I'm going to get on to some concerns from the latest issue of Doctor Who magazine. and just some stylistic concerns I have as well. So Jeff was talking about Star Trek Picard. He said his biggest hope is that they'd spend an episode rounding up a ton of non-Starfleets to help in Star Trek Picard. You know, Fenris Rangers, Klingons, Romulan Monk Ladies. I did love the Romulan Monk Ladies. Data's robot kids, regular changelings, new Borgs, etc. Because they wouldn't be networked with the Starfleet ships. Oh, yeah, there was a whole thing with the Starfleet ships being networked, and that's how the Borg took them over, because they created like a new fleet mode. And the admiral in charge of the fleet was Elizabeth Dennehy, who was in, like, she was going to replace Riker, I think, in The Best of Both Worlds, which was like a two-parter that went from season three to season four of The Next Generation, where Captain Picard was kidnapped and turned into a Borg. And so she was going to replace Riker. Then it was a whole thing. But yeah, she was the fleet admiral, which I kind of like. I like that they just kept bringing odd people like that back. It's like, oh, her. She was in two episodes. Let's bring her back as the boss of everyone. Anyway, they networked the whole fleet, and so the Borg took over, which kind of made me, like, it felt very reminiscent of, I don't know if anyone's watched Battlestar Galactica, but yeah, there was a whole thing in that about networking and deadly AIs and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I am terrified that, you know, everything we've ever created in fiction about AI is scary, and that AI is going to read it and go, well, I'll just do what I'm told. Speaking of benevolent AIs, I know we were talking about that a few weeks ago, you know, that there weren't many. Mrs. Davis, which I talked to Justin Hamilton about on the Big Squid podcast, but I've watched all of those now, and that is a benevolent AI, but also stupid. Final episode, there's so many hilarious revelations about how Mrs. Davis, the all-encompassing AI that has kind of taken over the world, how she came into being, why she does what she does, and why everyone's being so nice to each other. It kind of on some way works with the, I don't know if you know about this social capital thing that they've got going on in China. Like, if you do kind of positive things, it's, you know, you get kind of citizenship rewards. Like, you kind of get rewarded for being a good citizen with their various social media apps. Because you can't really get onto social media apps like that we use in the West because they have what they have, you know, the Great Firewall, as they call it. But yeah, they've got their own kind of versions of things. Like there's a, you know, I mean, TikTok is a Chinese app from based, like the company that owns it is based in China. But they have their own kind of version of TikTok. TikTok is just like the Western implementation of it. But yeah, they've got their own sort of chat apps and like an Instagram analog kind of thing. But yeah, they do have this kind of like social capital thing going on where you know, you kind of get points for being a good citizen sort of thing. And it's like, it's, and people, you know, there's discussion that maybe it's not appropriate behavior. You know, what's really weird is, so I'm one of my classes I'm in at uni, we've got a lot of Chinese students who've studying in Australia, and they're talking about the apps that they use, because there's a class about apps. And just like, you know, because the norm for them is kind of like this highly, you know, intense surveillance, and you know, anything you put online can kind of, you know, be seen by the powers that be. So, but, you know, they talk about that in a positive way, in that, you know, you're not really in danger of getting kind of cyberbullied or harassed or anything, because it's like, well, that's just bad behavior. So that stuff will just get deleted. Because it's just like, it's what happens in totalitarian societies. It's like, well, that's bad. We'll just won't have that. So yeah, that I found really interesting. It's like feeling almost like the, you know, what we would describe as kind of like that Orwellian Big Brother situation, and feeling that that's terrifying, but that being almost like a comforting thing. Again, this is just one or two people and their experiences of it and their explanation of it. So I can't speak for the, you know, billions of people that live there and whether they're having a good time. But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting kind of way of looking at things. Like, you know, someone who's grown up in that society, not, you know, I see it as from one way because I've been told that it's bad for various reasons, but someone seeing that as a kind of comforting thing, you're like, oh. Anyway, how did we get here? Just networked Starfleet ships somehow brought us to here. Anyway, Jeff was talking. I probably had a point and I lost it somewhere. Jeff was talking about all of the networked Starfleet ships, and, you know, all the ships that weren't networked coming to help, but instead they did, it was one single Borg cube that was weirdly embedded in a planet, and then it went mano a mano with the other, like the Enterprise. And he said, you know, which is fine, but not as cool. Yeah, but that would have been another 20 episodes, because, like, you know, it takes them a whole episode to, like, to go meet someone, have a chat, you know, have a difference of opinion, have a falling out about it. Like, it goes a bit crazy. Anyway, I did promise in the last episode that I was going to talk about my fears for the new series of Doctor Who. So that final season of Picard kind of felt like they paved over any continuity that had come before. Like Jeff was saying, like with Data's kids, you know, that whole society of android people, all of that is just kind of forgotten about. You know, the Romulan monks, all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of just like, oh, okay, let's pick this up as if it's, you know, the first season we've done since Star Trek was on in the 90s, or since they made, what was the last movie? The Nemesis movie. And there was like a little nod to the earlier seasons by Picard starting off at the chateau with Orla Brady's character, who played Orla Brady played someone else in the last season, which was weird. But, you know, they kind of tied it in a little bit like that and then proceeded to pretend that nothing else had ever happened before, which I kind of... That's like a slight fear I have with the way they're moving forward with Doctor Who. Like, I know they don't have the same logo. Like, they're using the old 70s diamond logo from the late Pertwee, early Baker years. So they haven't gone back to the Eccleston and Tennant logo. But, like, when they showed the title reveals the other day and they had the same kind of... time tunnel looking thing, like whether that's the time vortex, but it looked like this the same opening credits. The title reveals were in the same big kind of blocky 3D lettering, and, you know, bringing back Dudley Simpson, Murray Gold was the name I was looking for. I don't know how I went from Murray Gold associated backwards through Dudley Simpson, who used to write the music for a lot of the 70s episodes, and then got to Dudley Moore, as in from Arthur. My brain, it's a strange place to be in. But yeah, I'm worried that it's just going to be like, you know, the 11th hour never happened, let alone anything with Capaldi or Jodie Whittaker in it. Like, it's like, you know, is Russell T. Davis just picking up as if, you know, this episode happens right after the end of time? Like, I know the comic book, which is bridging them, which you can get at patreon.com/AdamRichard if you can't be bothered reading it. Doctor Who magazine. I read it for you. I don't really do the voices. Sometimes I do Dalek voices, but they're not great. but yeah, the comic is bridging, and there's been a devastating loss in the comic, which I am still not recovering from. Anyone who listens to those episodes will know what I'm talking about. It was hard work. But yeah, I'm worried. I'm excited that, you know, they're having a reunion and that we're getting a 60th anniversary. But I'm still concerned that we're going to paper over like things haven't happened. But I'd love to be wrong. Let me know what you're thinking. If you've got any other feedback on the Remembrance of the Daleks or there's anything else you want to watch, we are going to head on into the Capaldi, Daleks and Missy business in the next episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.